The Afternoons with Joy podcast is presented by United Faith Mortgage. Let their direct lender advantage save you time and money.
Welcome to a very special episode of the Afternoons with Joy podcast. If you have ever dealt with anxiety, you are in the right place. This is such a powerful conversation that I cannot wait for you to hear. I'm talking to author John Seidel today, and you may not know him. We were only acquaintances before the interview, but I am so grateful that someone like John is brave enough to say, I struggle with anxiety, I struggle with OCD, and I love Jesus. And here's the things that I've found that help. And even if you're not sure if you struggle with any of those things, if you know or love somebody who does, you have got to hear what he has to say. So I'm going to talk to John, first of all, about how do you know if you're dealing with anxiety over just the natural stress we've been going through? And is there any benefit to actually getting a diagnosis? And then what advice would you give to the people who love someone with anxiety, depression, or OCD? So sit back and get ready for a very honest conversation between me and John Seidel. John, you are known for your brand, well, it's not brand new, but it is new still, Finding Rest, A Survivor's Guide to Navigating the Valleys of Anxiety, Faith, and Life. And I gravitated towards this, John, because I live with anxiety and I live with depression. And so anybody who's talking about this, especially from a lens of faith, I want to know everything. So tell me, what made you decide that this needed to be talked about? It's obviously your own personal life, but what made you say, I got to write a book about anxiety?
Yeah, right. So the impetus for this was really an article that I did when I was at I Am Second. And so I was in charge of, you know, I would help with the filming stuff, which is how I got to know Chip and Joe. But then my big responsibility was to bring that same level of raw and honest and honesty and openness that the films had to the writing side of things. So I started, you know, getting contributors and we were posting some great stuff. And it was kind of like one of those where the Holy Spirit just kind of taps you and says, you know, you're asking everyone else to be real, raw and open. And like, you need to do that. And I'm like,
You're like, no, thanks. Okay. Yeah.
So I did. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to go for it. I didn't even tell my wife I was going to write it because I had just been diagnosed about 2 or so years earlier. Mm. And so I went for it. And I'll tell you what, Joy, like the amount of people that wrote back to me and said, me too. Yes, I've, you know, struggled with this. And I think the part that I realized needed to be really explored, which is what this book does, is there's so many Christians who have said, I've struggled with this, but I've suffered in silence. And, you know, the church hasn't done a great job, I don't think, of ministering to people like us. And so I realized quickly, like, this has to be, you know, we need to pull the curtain back and just really explore this.
Yeah. And there's a vulnerability in doing that because we're both in positions where we're putting our lives on display for people. And I talk about my anxiety. I just went through postpartum depression. I talked about that on the air. And there's a scary side to it because you know that being a part of the church and representing Jesus, people are going to say, that's a spiritual issue that you and God should have worked out. So tell me what your experience has been being a Christian who was diagnosed with anxiety and OCD.
I'm so glad you brought that up. There are two chapters in the book, and I put them right next to each other. One's called the physical battle and one's called the spiritual battle.
Yeah.
In my experience, what I've seen is that generally the church tries to say it's only a spiritual issue. My point is, there is a spiritual component to this. There's a spiritual component to everything.
You can't separate them.
Right. But it's not just a spiritual battle. And so it's not an issue that only requires spiritual answers. There are physical answers to this as well. Right. And so what I try to do is say, listen, you know, I'm really honest with the fact that I can't address those spiritual issues that I know, the pride, the I want to control everything, the lack of trust, until I address the physical, right? Once I address the physical, then yes, I can do all that other like heart deep root work. But like, you know, you can't tell me in the middle of a panic attack, like, just have faith. You know, it's like, no, I'm curled up in a ball in my bed. Like, that's not going to happen.
Powerful. Yes. I remember when I first started doing counseling for depression that she was like, I think you need to get on some medication. And I was like, oh, no, no, no. There's like a stigma around that. I don't want to do that. And she was like, well, until you can stop crying full on through every session, we can't do any good work. And I was like, and so it's been very freeing in my life. I'm so glad you talk about that. But, you know, putting this book out there, have you seen some negative stuff come your way? Or are you grateful that maybe we're turning a corner when it comes to mental health in the church?
You know, I did get, it's funny you say that. I literally just got an email yesterday from someone. I think well-intentioned, you know, but that was just like, so I tried medication. It didn't really work. Like, here's what I think is better. And I think my point that I try to make to everyone is, listen, I'm not a counselor. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not out here trying to diagnose everyone with a clinical issue and then get them on meds, right? But what I am trying to do is say, don't rule it out. You know, there's an entire chapter in the book called The Little White Pill. So I'm on Prozac. Ooh. I'm going to say it.
Yes.
And, yeah.
I'm on a medication right now.
Where I talk about like medication is a common grace, right? It's given to us by God. And so just as, you know, I'm not going to go to the doctor for a broken back and say, no, don't give me that pain med. What are you talking about? Like, God's going to heal me. It's like, no, like, I'm going to trust the doctors. I'm going to get on it and I'm going to take it. And it's a common grace. The Lord has given it to us. And so that's my philosophy. I would say that we are starting to turn a corner, but I still get those people who are emailing saying, oh, no. And you know what I say, Joy? I think it actually takes more faith because of the stigma that we're on, right? Or that we've encountered. It takes more faith to be on medication as a Christian sometimes because of what you just said. No. There's a stigma. Like, you have to trust that the Lord is good in that and that he has provided something for you. And so, you know, I flip that around and some people are like, oh my gosh, you're right. It may require more faith.
It does. I'm so glad that you said that. And even I got so excited when you said that you're taking something because you want to know that you're not alone in that because it's something that I fought for a really long time. And yet it's really, really helping me. And so can we talk about diagnosis for a second? Because a lot of people, especially now, are dealing with anxiety for the first time. What does it look like, at least for you in your story? What did it look like when you went, I think this is more than I can handle. I think this is more than a season. How did you get your diagnoses? Yes.
Yeah. My wife.
Really?
Well, so what happened is I think growing up, I always knew there was something different about me, right? How I describe it is, you know, so I have anxiety and OCD. So OCD is a subset of anxiety. And so for me, it was thoughts, ideas, you know, things I just could not get out of my head. You know, I wasn't like a obsessive hand washer, but it was really more thought.
Yeah.
OCD.
Which is harder to diagnose.
Yeah, exactly. And so I got to a point, though, about 3 years into my marriage where, you know, it just kind of progressively got worse. And so
it's for the first time someone's up close, like seeing the way you're functioning. Yeah.
And so my wife finally, I mean, we just had this big blow up about sweetener in my coffee, which like you're like, what? And it's like for someone with OCD, putting the wrong sweetener in their coffee, like, brings the worst out of you. Wow, and so she just hears this woman that I love so dearly, just broken down in front of me saying, listen, like, I'm here, you know, as Matt Chandler says, like, I've seen the ugly parts of you and I'm staying, but you got to let me know what I'm staying into, right? Like, what am I going to be? Is this it? Is this what we are going to be experiencing for the rest of our marriage? She said, it's just not normal. Like, can you just talk to someone? And I said, yes, you're right. Wow. Like, I don't like those feelings, you know, because for me with the thought, you know, you can't get thoughts out of your head, but with the anxiety, the general anxiety is like, I feel like I'm standing on a cliff. I'm looking down and I'm kind of caught in that in between of like, am I going to fall? Like, what's going to happen? And so your stomach is in your chest and your
body
is beating. Yeah. It's like fire through your veins. I was like, I don't like that. That's not fun.
And that makes you not a good version of you for the people you love.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I went to the psychiatrist and sure enough, he's like, listen, you classic case of GAD, generalized anxiety disorder with OCD. And I tell people this, you know, that day that I got the diagnosis was one of the most freeing and exciting days of my life.
Really?
And so
I was going to ask about that.
Yeah. what I say in the book is there's a chapter I say, it's called, call it by its name, right? And so if you back up and you go to like ancient Jewish culture, the idea is like when you name something, you have power over it, right? Like we were like Adam was given the responsibility to name the animals, and it kind of showed like the pecking order, if you will. So when I was able to put a name to what was going on, I could own it. Like I could fight it. Otherwise it was like, I'm blindfolded in the dark, just like, you know, swinging a sword and not sure where I'm, what I'm actually swinging at. Yeah. And so for me, it was actually this feeling of relief. Like, oh, okay. That's what that is. Now I can fight back. Now I know what I'm facing.
Mm-hmm. That makes so much sense, because if you don't even understand your own tendencies, you're just frustrated by them, then I think awareness is the first step, as you're saying. And it just, it's hard because a lot of us don't want to get a diagnosis because you don't want to have a label on you. But mm-hmm. it's freeing because you don't feel crazy, for one. And yes. So what would you say to somebody who's reading your book or who's hearing this interview and they're like, I don't know if I need to talk to somebody about my anxiety? What would you say is a good measure for somebody else?
I would say it is never a bad idea to talk to someone, right? What I have loved about where we're starting to get into culture is where openness and vulnerability is not seen as weakness. So what I would say to that person is, first of all, I think that if there's hesitancy there, part of it is that vulnerability has been seen as weakness. It is not. Some of the strongest people I know are people who talk about their disorder, who bring it into the light. So what I would say is, if you start having, let's just go here. If you start having like a kind of a bad cough and not feeling well, like, do you feel like, isn't in this era, it's a good idea to talk to someone about that? And if they tell you it's nothing, if they tell you it's allergies, like, great. That's awesome. So if you maybe start feeling like you have some of these things, talk to someone. If they tell you that it's nothing, great. You've ruled that out and you can, go on with your life or figure out exactly what is going on. Yeah. I just think there is no harm in talking to a pastor, a counselor, a psychiatrist, or even just your general health practitioner. I went to a psychiatrist to get diagnosed, but now I'm at a point where my meds have been dialed in. It's like, I just go to my general doctor. We do checkups. And, if I need something, I call them and we get it figured out. Yeah. It cannot hurt to talk to someone.
That's powerful. I'm glad you said that, because I do think that so many of us are dealing with stress and anxiety right now, and we're afraid, we don't want to get like on medication or some big diagnosis. But the truth is, it may just be a season where you need to talk to somebody to get through it, but you're afraid to take the very first step. Even booking with a counselor for the very first time was very nerve-wracking for me, and I didn't even know where to start. And so I said something to my doctor at a regular physical checkup, and he got the ball rolling for me, and stuff started.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad you're bringing awareness to this, but your book is about how to navigate it. And so you do talk about that there is a pathway to peace. So what did that look like for you? Is that coming to peace with your diagnosis or coming to peace in your relationship with Jesus with this?
Both. And I think the former brings me to the latter.
Mm.
So here's what I say. I have not kicked, beaten, overcome, put in any word you want here, my anxiety or my OCD. That does not mean I don't have faith. That, it doesn't mean any of those things. This is an ongoing battle for me. I had a panic attack 2 weeks ago and it was awful and I hated it, but what I have come to understand is that there's something called a proper theology of suffering that I talk about in the book. And I don't think we talk about it enough. So where I have gotten is that in one sentence, a proper theology of suffering is understanding that your struggles, your difficulties, your anxiety, your postpartum is going to be used for your good and God's glory. Doesn't mean he causes them, but he has promised us. So what I have gotten to is that my anxiety is going to be used for my ultimate good and God's ultimate glory. And I say this, I was saying this to someone the other day. Listen, when you look at Paul, Paul was given a thorn in his flesh so that he would not become prideful and would learn that he has to trust on God.
Man, that's
how I see my anxiety.
I'm so grateful Paul had an issue, or what would we do?
Yeah, exactly. And so what I said, Joy, like, maybe I am the most like prideful, arrogant, conceited, you know, human being on the planet. And the Lord's like, you know what, John, I'm going to allow this for you. And it's going to bring you closer to me. It's going to show you that you have to rely on me. It's going to humble you. I'm not saying that's the case, but like maybe, mm-hmm. you know? And so what I challenge people is to find rest, to get to that place of peace, is to say, that doesn't mean you're not going to struggle. That doesn't mean you're not going to have really tough times where you are laid up in bed with a panic attack. But what it means is, ultimately, God is working this. He's working it to refine me and redefine me and to bring me closer to him and show his glory. And so I talk about that at length because that's really the foundation of what finding rest means. And then I would also say this, you know, if you just think about the concept of the armor of God, it suggests that you are in an ongoing battle, right?
Yep.
So for me, finding rest is not to say, is not the absence of everything that I'm struggling with. It's actually rest in those moments of respite between the battles, right? And so if the armor of God is there because it's assumed that we are going to continue battling. So my goal of rest is not, you know, no battle. It's where in the war, right? In those times where I am in between battling, how can I view this and how can I find relief?
Just taking a quick break from this conversation with John Seidel. I told you it was amazing. He's so insightful, and there is more to come. But first, I want to tell you about our amazing podcast sponsors. If you want to guarantee this year is better than last year, starting with generosity is a great way to do that. One of our podcast sponsors is Food for the Hungry. Their mission is to end poverty for some of the most vulnerable people around the globe. And their Christian belief is one that we should have too, that it is our responsibility to advocate and care for the poor and marginalized. They have the Chicken of the Month Club. This is so fun. For $28 a month, you provide 2 chickens to a different vulnerable family every month. If you start right now, you could actually take care of 12 families just this year. You might never meet them, but the chickens you're providing are actually giving them a source of protein that makes their kids healthy, them healthy, but it also allows them to make an income by selling the eggs in the market. This is a great way for you to live out your faith and do some good this year. All you got to do is text the word flock, that's FLOCK, to 91979. Click the link in the show notes or visit fh.org/joy. Everybody's talking about new year, new you. I'm not against New Year's resolutions. I just always make them and never keep them. But one thing that actually could transform your year is a new house. If this is the year that you want your life to look different, get a different setting. All you got to do is find that home and work with United Faith Mortgage. They're one of the best mortgage companies out there because they're faith and family owned. It's this amazing father-son team, John and Ryan, and they're going to take great care of you because you want to make a good financial decision if you're going to get a new house. And they have a direct lender advantage. Here's what that means. There is no middleman with United Faith Mortgage. Their advantage often allows you to get a better rate, and that can save you monthly and lifelong money. Start off this year making the best financial decision you can. Getting a home with United Faith Mortgage. Head to UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp. 25 Middle Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to AnimalistConsumerAccess.org. Corporate Animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. Licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
You have this wisdom now. You obviously, you've explained it's not like a perfect process. I think anybody who's dealt with anxiety knows that. But you found some peace. You found some rest. You found these biblical truths. What was the process to get you there? Was there a specific moment or has it been the slow journey? And what was the catalyst?
So I think, you know, we like to think, and if you hear me, what I hope you don't hear is that this has just been like this easy linear line, you know, from there to here, right? I write in the epilogue of the book, You know, my wife, she kind of made fun of me at first. She's like, this is kind of a downer. And I'm like, just keep reading. The point is, like, the epilogue is called This Is Not the End, right? And so my point is that I'm continuing to learn. Like, until the moment that the publisher like put this thing in print, I was still like, hey, can I add this? Can I take this out? Can I change this? Right. So it's an ongoing process for me of learning. I would say there are a couple milestones that have really helped me. One of them was I talk about this in detail, like a conversation with my stepdad when I was younger, that I was kind of raised in a belief system that if you are struggling, especially with these type of issues, that it's your fault, that you don't have enough faith, that you're not praying, that you have maybe sin in your life that you haven't repented of. And so that was monumental for me, because in my spirit, I'm like, that's not right. But now I need to figure out why that's not right. And so that kind of started my spiritual journey, bringing me to the book of Job. And so there's an entire chapter in the book of Job talking about why that's so important and what that teaches us. So that was one thing. And then I would say there's a chapter called The Four Deaths. And so my grandparents, my sister, and my stepdad all died within the course of about 4 years.
With
my sister and stepdad dying within about 2 years of each other. And so, you know, I'm a huge C.S. Lewis fan. I named my kid Jack because that's what Tolkien called Lewis, right? And so, you know, Lewis talks about the problem of pain. He talks about this idea that the Lord uses our struggles and difficulties to, you know, he says he shouts to us in our pain. And so he also has this really great analogy where he says, you have not basically... you don't know what you believe until you're forced to defend it or forced into a hard time and forced to say, is that really what I believe?
To analyze it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so for me, those deaths happening so close together, that was where it was kind of like that refining, and a lot of the stuff that I had been thinking about and discovering, and I felt like the Lord had been showing me, were really solidified, was like, yes, I do. I really do believe this.
Yeah. And it's amazing how even through really tough times, God is like, he's refining something in us like that. We talk about the fire of refinement, and so many people have experienced loss right now, unbelievable loss in this season. But that's why I think your message is so important, that God is not going to waste our pain. He's doing something. You may not see it now, but you will. And in closing, I just want to know, you said that this book is not just for people who struggle, but it's for the people who love those who struggle. You said this book is for your wife. Tell me how that impacts the people that love those of us who struggle.
That is one of, it's hard to boil it down. It's one of the most important chapters of the book. In fact, my wife and I were talking this morning. She's like, I think you need to write an entire book on this. And I'm like, maybe I do.
Oh, for sure. My husband's pretty clueless. He would definitely read it.
Yeah, exactly. So, but you know, it's the chapter's called Help Me Understand. And it's basically an entire chapter of stuff that my wife is like, you need to put this in the book, right? Because for her, I'll tell you what, Joy, like there was a time 6 months ago when I was submitting the final manuscript, and my wife read through it. And with tears in her eyes, she's like, I need to go back to counseling. And I'm like, what did I do? Like, what happened? She said, listen, like, you know, I love you. And she said, this was a lot harder for me than I realized, a lot harder to read. Because what she said is, when you were going through that process of figuring out what was going on, I was going through a process myself. Now, once you named it, I think we all celebrated that, but I realized there's some undealt with, you know, some pain during that time. I mean, when you love someone who is has anxiety, OCD, or depression, like there's a lot that you have to shoulder as the loved one. And, you know, so in that chapter, I say, you know, there's some really practical things that I talk about. One of them is, and this is my wife and I were on a walk. She goes, you pointed at me. You need to put this in the book. Listen here. And it's, you need to go get counseling. You know, we talk a lot about counseling for the people who are struggling, but I feel like the people who are helping us shoulder that weight, they need someone to talk to. And it can't always be us, right? Yeah. And that's okay. So this is really for like I go through physically, what's going on inside of me so that people can understand what's going on in their loved one with anxiety. And then I go through spiritually, and then I talk about what you need to do, because I think so many times our loved ones feel lost.
Yeah.
And I realized that even more so in just the process of writing this book, how it was a kind of wilderness experience for my wife. And just as much as I need to be heard and taken care of, my wife and our loved ones need to be heard and taken care of.
That is powerful, especially to think that they often need care sometimes after we feel like we've stabled, because yes, that's when they can look back and they're slowly taking some of what they've shouldered off and they go, I'm not okay. And yes, that's so insightful, because when we are struggling so badly and they're saying, help me understand, which I love the title of that chapter, and yeah, what can I do? And you don't have answers for them because you don't know. I can't imagine the pain that they experience, not being able to do anything and feeling even more confused than you do. So mm-hmm, I'm so glad I second a whole book on that, John. That could be the second one. I'm just saying.
Maybe it is.
It's very needed. But if you're listening to this right now, I want you to know that this book is available right now, called Finding Rest, A Survivor's Guide to Navigating the Valleys of Anxiety, Faith, and Life. And if there's like one thing you wanted to leave somebody with, if they don't remember anything else from this conversation, John, what would that be?
He's working your struggles for his glory and your good. And so that is the foundation that everything else is built on. It's that proper theology of suffering. God is working it for your good and his glory. And that applies to any pain, any struggle. It's not just anxiety and OCD. And so that's what I want to leave that with your listeners, because I think that's important.
Thank you for sounding this drum. We need some leaders out in the forefront, and thank you for doing that for us.
Thank you so, so much for having me. And it's really great to talk with someone who has been there, you know, in the muck and the mire.
I get it. I wish I didn't get it, John, but oh boy, do I get it.
Yeah.
If you want to hear more from John, make sure you check out his book, Finding Rest, A Survivor's Guide to Navigating the Valleys of Anxiety, Faith, and Life.